In your Bible, please. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and verse 32. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle, routing foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers, floggings, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been fully promised, where God had planned something better for us so that together with us, they too would be made with us perfect. Old Testament saints, New Testament saints, both awaiting the perfection of the completeness of experience of the redemption wrought in Christ Jesus. Peace with God. We've been looking at this 32nd verse, and we've addressed each one of the judges. One of the judges, Samuel, had the unique position of not only being a judge, but being a prophet. The first of the prophets. Come on over to Acts chapter 3. I'm reading from verse 17. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah, his Christ, would suffer. Repent then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ, the anointed, the promised one, who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago, through his holy prophets. For Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among the people." Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel, there he is, 1,000 years before Jesus of Nazareth, before the promised one. 1,000 years of prophets, those spokesmen for God, those individuals whom God raised up that would stand in the presence primarily of the people of promise, Israel, but also the people that had to do with the people of Israel. Those adversaries, those nations all around them. They stood and proclaimed, "Thus saith the Lord." They spoke as the words of God. This is what God is saying. Divine, direct revelation. Beginning with Samuel. And on. As many as have spoken have foretold these days, first century. This is shortly after the day of Pentecost, the moving of the Spirit of God. We'll look at just a few moments. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers, the Abrahamic covenant. That covenant. That promise of God's personal presence to bring forth a people uniquely related to Him, empowered to possess a place that He promised them, empowered to prosper at His hand, empowered to be a people uniquely set amongst the nations of the world as belonging to the true and the living God, protected by Him. A people through whom all nations, all people will ultimately be blessed, be favored before God, the promised Messiah, the anointed. What was promised? You are presently experiencing. 1,000 years ago, beginning with Samuel, and now to today, first century, the prophets are speaking. Went over to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. If you're familiar with the writings of the prophets, as we have them in our scriptures, the writings begin with the writings of Joel, 800 years before the coming of Christ. The writings of the prophets, as we have them in our scriptures, concluded 400 years before the coming of the promised one, the Christ, Jesus. There has been, to the point that we just read in Acts chapter 3, 400 silent years. No divine direct revelation. 400 years of silence from heaven directly. that silence was shattered with the prophet John the Baptist. We're in Luke chapter 1. I'm reading from verse 11. The angel of the Lord appeared to him, that is, Zechariah, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from the womb. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elisha to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of righteousness, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." There is now a prophet coming, like Elijah, a powerful preacher of righteousness. All of the prophets, from Samuel on to the first century, to John the Baptist, and as we'll see, the prophets in the church in the first century, proclaimed a powerful message. That message was a message of righteousness. God is righteous. In order for you, sinners, to be right with God, you must change. Repent. If you do, God will fulfill His promise of restoring a relationship with you in such a way that you will experience His blessings. If you don't, you will experience the wrath of God. Ruin. Message of the prophets. Righteousness. Repentance. Restoration. But without repentance, ruin. But ultimately, the message of the prophets was always on point, poignant. God is righteous. But also, predictive. God is going to restore His people. He is going to bring forth a people unto Himself that will rule and reign over His creation. That's the message of the prophets. And it was a poignant, predictive, powerful message. But as we saw last week, even the prophets themselves were perplexed, because within that message was a message of a suffering servant, a sin bearer. The perplexity, a sovereign son who will rule, a servant who would suffer and become a sin bearer. But their message was on point, never varied. And their ministry, the ministry of the prophets, was powerful. For they demonstrated the authenticity of their being the spokesperson for God. Thus saith the Lord, hear what I say. And in order for you to understand that I am speaking God's word, look at the signs. They had a ministry fraught with miracles. Signs, wonders. We're going to get to those prophets, beginning with Elijah, Lord willing, next week. A prophet with a powerful message, but also a powerful ministry. Signs to raise the dead. Prayed down the fire of God upon the prophets of Baal. Powerful. John now shatters the silence of God's declaring and demonstrating his righteousness. 400 years have gone by. No prophet. John. We know that his message was a message of righteousness. There were those coming out to him. He's in the wilderness around Judea. They come to him and he recognizes who's coming. The everyday person. We're coming out to hear this voice from heaven. This man who declared powerfully the righteousness of God. But also, those who were coming who were skeptical, who were looking to somehow find out what this is all about, just in case it might be a political movement. And he calls them out. He calls them out. There are those he calls vipers, you snakes. Who warned you to come? There's only one way you come, not the way you are. You got to change. You have to repent because the righteousness of God is about to be revealed. The kingdom is coming. The king is about to step on the scene. Powerful. Come on over to Luke chapter 7. He was a prophet, John the Baptist. A prophet like Elijah. He was a prophet that the prophet Isaiah predicted would be the forerunner of the promised one. He would be preparing the people for the righteousness of God in the Christ. But things are happening. And in the 7th chapter of Luke, I'm reading from verse 18, John's disciples told him about all these things. If you just peeked up and don't spend a lot of time, but the few verses before indicate, show who Christ Jesus truly is. He's healed the centurion's son. He's raised from the dead the widow's son. John's disciples told John about these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, are you the one who was to come? Or should we expect someone else? When the men came to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, are you the one who was to come? Or should we expect someone else? At that very time, Jesus cured many diseases, sicknesses, evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. Signs, wonders, miracles, righteousness of God on the earth being demonstrated. Go back to John. Tell him, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the dead hear, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. After John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? There wasn't a drop of political correctness in the ministry of John the Baptist. If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes. It's been 400 years of silence. There's been no voice from heaven. There is now. It's the preparatory prophet. The one that Isaiah said would come and prepare the way. The one that will be likened to the power of Elijah. A prophet? Yes, I tell you. And more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. That's a quote from the only Italian prophet. Now, I know better than that, but I mean, it looks like, if you read it phonetically in the English, it looks like the prophet Malachi. And if that ain't Italian, I don't know what it is. But it's Malachi, okay? It's Malachi. It's not Malachi, but it's Malachi. He's the last of the prophets who wrote 400 years before. Now, here's John. Malachi said, he's coming. 400 years, he ain't there yet. But when he comes, he's going to prepare the way for the promised one. Come on back to Acts 3. Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many as have spoken, have foretold these days what is happening now. First century. Pentecost. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, he promised, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. He gets to the heart of the issue. All peoples, Jew and Gentile, now to enter into the blessings of a personal relationship with the true and living God, who has revealed himself to Abraham, to Isaac, to Joseph, who has revealed himself, to Moses, who has revealed himself, to the judges, who has revealed himself, to the prophets, beginning with Samuel, up until right now, with what you have just been experiencing. Come on over to Acts chapter 2. It is the day of Pentecost. The Spirit of God has been poured out. Verse 14. Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who are in Jerusalem, there were thousands gathered for the Feast of Pentecost. Jews, there were proselytes, those who were seeking a right relationship with God through becoming a follower of Judaism, Israel. They're there. Let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk. This was the issue. What's going on here? They were speaking in tongues, languages, dialects that many nations, peoples from places heard in their own dialect. How is this happening? What's going on here? Maybe it's some drunken stupor that we're experiencing here, drug-induced, whatever it is. What? It doesn't seem explainable. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. For those of you who are abstainers of alcoholic beverages, do that. I mean, that's a very positive thing for our testimony for the Lord. But let me just remind you that here were the disciples, and the only reason Peter says they're not drunk isn't because they didn't drink. He just says it's a little early. But just so you understand what's going on, this isn't drug-induced. This is divinely induced. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. First of the written prophets, 800 years before Christ. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. What's happening? What you're experiencing is what the prophet Joel predicted. An outpouring of the Spirit of God so that God's message, the master plan of Messiah, might be understood. A powerful message, prophecy, predictive, poignant, powerful. That's what's happening. What you are experiencing right now is what was prophesied. That there would be the outpouring of the Spirit, and God would speak as He hadn't spoken in 400 years. But these last days are revealed as a progression of the master plan of Messiah. I will pour out my spirit in those days. The first part of the last days. The last days encompass from the day of Pentecost. It is the pouring out of the Spirit of God until the Promised One puts His feet back on His creation. The return of the Messiah. And when He does, I will show wonders in the heavens above and the signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon become as blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. From this point in time when God is pouring out His Spirit, the beginning of the last days, until the last of this time of the Messiah's return. And in between, things will be revealed. And what He's saying here about the prophet Joel is what would take place during the time of Jacob's trouble, the tribulation. The first half there, I'll show wonders in heavens and the signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun be turned to darkness and the moon become blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. The second part of the day of Jacob's trouble, the tribulation. These are the last days. God is pouring out His Spirit. There's going to be prophesying. There is now going to be those who are standing and declaring, "Thus saith the Lord." Their ministry and their message are powerful. They're authoritative. How are you going to know that? Just like the prophets of old. Signs, wonders. Began the day of Pentecost. They were given an ability to speak beyond anything that they had knowledge of. The first century church, the apostolic age, was characterized by those whom God raised up, beginning with John the Baptist, as prophets and apostles. Those that would declare the truth as to who Jesus of Nazareth was, the promised one, the Messiah. Those gifts, Paul writes in Ephesians, I don't have time to go there for you, but he writes in Ephesians about the apostles and the prophets, not the written prophets only, but the present apostles and prophets are the foundational gifts to the church. The church was born on the day of Pentecost. What happened? Peter showed very clearly that Jesus of Nazareth was the promised one, the Messiah. What do we do? You change. You repent. And thousands responded to embrace what was declared as to who Jesus of Nazareth truly is. The promised one. And the church was born. Paul writes about foundational gifts to this church, that of apostles and prophets. Their message, poignant, powerful. Their ministry, signs, wonders. Apostles, raised from the dead. The prophets were empowered, just as the prophets of old in the first century. But these were foundational gifts. Peter goes on, speaks about the ultimate reign of righteousness. For our time this morning, as we continue to look at the prophets, their message, righteousness, the need for repentance, a message that assured ruin if there was not a response of repentance. But there's hope. The message spoke of restoration, the rule and reign of the righteous one. The prophet in that first century, along with the apostles, proclaimed the truth of who Jesus of Nazareth truly is. Paul explains in that same epistle that the master plan of Messiah has within it a mystery. Just as the prophets were perplexed about the suffering servant and the sovereign son who will rule, so now God is calling out a people not only from the descendants of Abraham, but from the Gentile nations, a people unto himself, whom Paul says was a mystery, not before revealed. It was never the message of the prophets. Message of the prophets, fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. The details of how that was going to be worked out, there was a mystery involved. And that mystery is the Jews and Gentiles are now experiencing the blessings of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as the spiritual seed of Abraham by faith. By faith. Faith in the master plan of Messiah, the Christ, slain before the foundation of the world. Now a mystery. God is calling out from all peoples, a people unto himself. Old Testament, believe what God has declared by his spokesperson. Believe what God has declared, demonstrating the power of the message, the signs and the wonders of the prophets. First century, same thing. Apostolic age and prophecy was used for the purpose of authenticating the message. We don't have time this morning, but we'll put it together more. The day of the prophet is ended. It ended at the end of the apostolic age. No signs, no wonders. It's going to happen again in tribulation, but there's a parenthesis, there's a mystery going on right now. And any ministry that believes that they can replicate the signs and the wonders of the apostolic age is in error. The whole charismatic movement, speaking in tongues, healings, the whole ball of wax that says that there are those individuals here and now who are empowered by the Spirit of God to perform signs and wonders. That's the devil's deception. The prophets preached in the Old Testament. People believed. We, the New Testament, same issue. A powerful message, as we'll see next week, produces a people of faith. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. Look at the demonstration of those prophets and what they declared. We are to respond in faith. Thank you, Lord, for these moments as we continue to look into your word and to rejoice in the master plan of Messiah, your plan of redemption, restoring all things in a right relationship with yourself. Thank you. We praise you. We rejoice in you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.